This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Let me say aloha, coming to you from Kauai, Hawaii. This is Bill Martinez at Live. Yes, we are. It's the top of the hour. Good to have you along with us. As always, for more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is right there. Here's the quote of the day for you, okay? Sometimes the things we can't change end up changing us instead. You ever wonder about that? You know, there's just some things, it's like the law of gravity, you know, we just fight it. And Scott, they just won't let us go. And so sometimes we just have to get out of our own stubbornness. And sometimes that can be a good thing, you know. And but there's other things that we need to make sure that if they are changing us, so they're changing us for the better. I guess that at the end of the day, that's the higher calling. And that's the thing that keeps it kind of cycling through my brain here, is that are we losing sight of the majors for the sake of the minors? You know, we get caught up in all this hoopla and get all agitated and excited. And for what? You know, what is the end game here? Have we let go of the perspective of the end game? Have we lost sight of the goal? It's kind of like one of my favorite sayings. For many years, I had this up in my office. Obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. And along the way, had one of those magical epiphanies, which I do from time to time. It's just more by accident, I guess. As my one friend used to say, even a blind squirrel can find an acorn once in a while. Is I ended up altering that saying to obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off of his goal pointing to God, the one who created heaven and earth that knows all, has established immutable laws like the law of gravity that if we divide, we pay a big price. And here we are in America today, I believe, paying a big price because we're fighting these immutable laws. You know, we want to see things according to our own eyes, and then we kind of go, well, what's wrong with this country? You know, 7 out of 10 of us say we're on the wrong track. Well, you know, if you abandon the very things that caused you to be blessed and you're not getting the blessings anymore, you know, can we not stop and think about that for a moment? Anyway, Scott and I were talking about that it seems the news media is getting tired. Maybe they're just getting arm weary from beating Trump up so much that they thought maybe they should go after Hillary a little bit here. Why not? Maybe even out the plays and, you know, the playing field and claim some sort of objectivity. Nonetheless, here, Amanda Carpenter, you know, was saying that in an interview with Jake Tapper that Hillary Clinton, you know, just flat out doesn't answer any questions anymore. Listen to what she had to say.
And said, we already looked at some allegations in Clinton cash. These may have been two separate subjects, but the reason why everyone wants to go back and look at the investigation, I think, is this: Hillary Clinton doesn't answer any questions. Look at what happened to the State Department press briefing earlier this week. Reporters tried to find out. One interview in front of a conference where you had to pay to get in. She does not
answer questions from the press.
And that is why people have to go and look at everything else she's ever done.
11 hours in front of the Benghazi. So now we want to have another investigation with her sitting there for 11 hours?
Why does Hillary Clinton find it that she has to keep the Clinton Foundation running while she's Secretary of State, while she's campaigning? Isn't being presidential candidate good enough?
I'm not going to be one of these people.
Could she just be a public servant? Why does she
going to be one of the people who backs away from the good work the Clinton Foundation does. And I hope that the campaign begins to be on the offense more.
Is possibly enough for her and Bill?
Well, no. Why can't they do good work through the foundation?
Because
children need the Clinton Foundation
to go out
the world.
They can always go back and do
that. You have 9.9 million kids who now have access to vaccinations because of the Clinton Foundation.
You know, she's good. She kind of reminds me of, you know, what attorneys that go on to be under Hillary Clinton. That is, you just don't answer. You stay vague. As long as you stay vague for as long as you can. That's why you have to have 11. Why do you have to have an 11-hour meeting, is my question. The answers could have been straight enough, but such is the nature of not only the political world, but the legal world. I got a joke to share with you a little bit later on. This was by a priest. Why yesterday? I told him, I said, I'm going to steal that joke And I got to tell everybody about it. That'll, you know, you can look for that one. We've got a lot more. Thanks for being with us. But up next, this is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Do you know that good digestion is your body's first line of defense? Millions of Americans suffer from poor digestion. It shows up in the form of heartburn, acid reflux, GERD, irritable bowel syndrome, indigestion, constipation, diarrhea, and many other symptoms. Healthy digestion relies on armies of friendly bacteria. These good bugs keep bad bugs in check. Probimune, a new, uniquely developed probiotic, is scientifically proven to get to your gut and deliver the benefits of improved digestion. Probimune is an immune system booster and a digestive health enhancer. It's simple to use, and most importantly, you will feel Probimune working, soothing, and relaxing the gut. Get yours today by visiting younghealth.com or call 800-396-9024. Again, that's 800-396-9024. Use coupon code DIGEST to receive 15% off your first order.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, if it's going to happen, it's going to be up to us, we the people. That's the way our founding fathers designed, not the elites. You know, we're a little upside down here, and this is why we're paying the price that we are, and we're so discombobulated. You know, the thing is that, you know, what's come out, you know, there are some things out of this crazy 2016 election that is hitting we the people straight in the face, and that is that the system is fixed. And, you know, I want to bring Bruce Kaufman here right now, because Bruce, of course, our favorite historian, is an award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker. His work has appeared in magazines and newspapers nationwide. He regularly lectures on a number of historic topics, of which we're going to be talking about one which we needed to commemorate last week. And I kind of wish I had Bruce on last week, but, you know, hey, because of the nature of this good stuff, we can have him on this week, and we can talk about the Diary of Anne Frank, among other historical topics as well. Bruce Kaufman, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill. Always good to be on the show. I always enjoy it.
Hey, I as well, and I know our audience always looks forward, and they get excited when they hear the name Bruce Kaufman, that he's coming on Bill Martinez Live, because we can go head-to-head with some of the you know, and one of the things I'm talking about here, Bruce, in terms of the 2016 elections, in the morass and the gum that has been created by two very flawed candidates, no doubt. What can America draw out of this and be better as a result of this crazy election that
well,
we've gone
one
through?
One thing, speaking of history, I think that there are some parallels here between what has happened in 2016, and historians looking back, I think, will make this parallel to what happened after the American Revolution. After the American Revolution, even though we'd won the war, the country was in chaos. There was no strong central government to unite the country. All the states were going their own way, and all of the states, their governments were Democratic majorities in which demagogues would spur and inflame the people into making decisions that were bad for the country. And it was the chaos in the country at that time was ripe for demagogues. Well, guess what? Here we are in 2016. This country is both domestically and internationally in chaos. We have a terrible economy, high unemployment. Polls show that 70% of the Americans think we're on the wrong track in this country. We've withdrawn from the world. And what is the result of that? A demagogue, Donald Trump. And in some ways, I think historians are going to look back and say, okay, the conditions in the country made for a demagogue arising such as Donald Trump. And I think that Barack Obama gets part of the blame for this, because under his watch, we are where we are today with a 2% economic growth, having literally withdrawn from the world. We used to be the world's leader in terms of international relations. We've given up on that. So that creates a power, that creates a vacuum, and Donald Trump has filled that vacuum. So in some ways, I think historians look back. And remember, Bill, when historians look back at events, you have the hagiography where everybody's writing books on Obama that says he was a terrific guy. Then you have the revisionist historians who come and say, no, actually, that's all wrong. And then you have 20 years down the road, you'll have kind of a compromise, a meeting of the minds, and you'll get somewhat of an accurate picture. But I think that they're going to say that the conditions of this country kind of led to a Donald Trump. So in some ways, Barack Obama created Donald Trump. I would also say, by the way, that Donald Trump created Hillary Clinton. Because what is Hillary running on other than the fact that she's not Donald Trump? What accomplishments is she talking about in terms of why we should make her president? Basically, her message today is, I'm not Donald Trump. So Obama in some ways created Trump. In some ways, Obama has created Hillary.
Well, wouldn't you say, I buy into part of that, but I would also say that Barack Obama, because he has made it clear that Hillary is an extension of his administration, of his legacy.
Right.
So yeah, don't you, you know, no contribute some of the genesis to one Barack Obama as well?
Barack Obama. Yep. I agree. And I guess that there is a constituency that is buying into that.
Well, and it is amazing because out of all this, and Bruce, you know, early on, you and I talked about this, that maybe this election could be one where, you know, maybe 35% is all it's going to take to get the vote because of the flawness, if I can say, of both of these candidates. And it seems that, you know, with Trump's popularity falling off the cliff, it's, you know, how many more things about Clinton are we going to hear that is going to just do the voter politic in and just say, you know, they're going to throw their hands up on the air and say, look, this system is so rigged, it doesn't matter anyway. Yeah, I mean, we've got people writing books about her character, the things that happened in the White House. And I was just reviewing Gary Byrne's book again the other night. I don't know why, but I picked it up and started reading through some of the highlights again. And I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, this is what we're bringing back to the Oval Office one more time, because you cannot detach Hillary Clinton from Bill Clinton. I mean, those two turned the White House. I mean, it was so scandalous during the Bill Clinton administrative years. I mean, the only thing a good thing that might be good is that all the W's that were taken off the keyboards, those might be returned. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, speaking of, yeah, okay, Bill, you and I have talked about this before. To me, what makes a great president are three things, basically: character, temperament, judgment, and then experience would be fourth, because our least experienced candidate ever, or at least until 1860, was Abe Lincoln, and he's our greatest president. So experience is not as important. Yes, and we've talked about the fact that Donald Trump lacks judgment, character, and temperament. Well, guess what? Speaking of books, I've just been reading a book called The First Family Detail, Secret Service Agents Reveal the Hidden Lives of Presidents, and it talks about how Secret Service agents who were put on the Hillary detail considered that to be hell on earth and punishment for something that they'd done wrong. You should read some of the quotes that the Secret Service agents talk about Hillary's character. One time, during the Monica Lewinsky scandal, so she's not a happy person, a Secret Service agent made the mistake of bidding her good morning. Mm-hmm. She started to swear at him. Okay, another Secret Service agent said, and this is a direct quote from the book, she would not go over and meet military people or police officers as most protectees do. People are being protected. She'd act like she didn't want you around, like you were beneath her. Another added, most members of first families would talk to us and smile. She never did. So this is a person who treated the people who were going to lay down their lives for her if they had to, like dirt. And this is a person who is saying, you know, I represent the middle class. I represent the people being left behind. This is her character.
Yeah, it's pretty sad, and that's consistent with Gary Byrne's book and, you know, the bullets that he had to take in protecting, you know, President Bill Clinton, knowing what was going on in the White House, running interference there and trying, you know, as he was being, interrogated about what he knew, how careful he had to be and what he said about what he saw. You know, it's not a straight up kind of deal, because here it is, his whole livelihood, everything is on the line, his future, his family well-being, if he answers the question too truthfully.
Right.
And, you know, you get that situation, Bruce, where they say, well, I answered the question, and even Bill Clinton says, but I wasn't altogether truthful. So, but I didn't lie somehow. You know, I guess that's what that means. Anyway, we've got more from Bruce Kaufman. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP Health Tip after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really? Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like Accucheck and Walgreens TrueMetrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket cost when billed to Medicare and full-coverage supplemental insurance.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
Technically, I wasn't invited to this wedding, but you can stroll into any event with a camera and people will assume you're the photographer. This bag's holding more than cameras. It's also got an RFID scanner that's picking up all your personal information. Debit cards, credit cards, even that key to your office. So while the bride's taking his last name, I'll be taking yours. Say cheese!
Do you have a stronghold on your identity? ID Stronghold pioneered RFID blocking technology over a decade ago. For about the same price as an unprotected wallet, you can get a stronghold on your credit cards, license, and other critical data with ID Stronghold wallets, card sleeves, and purses. Other RFID blocking technology simply isn't the same. Check the label. If it's not an ID Stronghold, it's probably weak.
I'm Walt Augustinowitz, founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. Protect yourself from crimes you can't see with ID Stronghold wallets in bifold, trifold, and the popular mini style.
Get the original RFID blocking wallets. IDStronghold.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Hey, millennials, know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez live.
When you don't move the mountain, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust in you.
Bill Martinez live.
You know, that song has a very powerful word in it, and that is trust. And I think this is where America is at right now, is, you know, who do we trust? And here it is, you know, we're trying to decipher all this information, especially, you know, in this season of politics and everything that goes on for the sake of people getting elected and reelected. There's a lot of stuff flying around out there, ladies and gentlemen, and we got to know who you're going to put your faith and trust in. And it is absolutely critical that you reconcile that question with yourself, that you do so on the basis of truth. Okay, that's my little bit of encouragement to you right now, but important for us to get reconnected with one Bruce Kaufman, our favorite historian, who, if you subscribe to his service, you're fortunate enough to hear from Bruce three times a week. And I tell you, I look forward to his emails three times a week. It kind of keeps us connected, but it also reminds me of something that I find to be absolutely vital, especially if you are a bit of a historian yourself. I think that's kind of like, even though you may not consider yourself a historian per se, like a Bruce Kaufman, who's constantly, you know, presenting historical topics to remind us of the importance of history, you know, the fact that we may even have some interest in it makes you a historian. And I highly recommend you getting connected with Bruce. Bruce, remind everybody how they can get connected with you and subscribe to these three wonderful services that you offer every week for us.
Well, thank you, Bill. They can go on my website, which is historylessons.net. That's one word, plural, historylessons.net. And right on the homepage, on the right side, it says subscribe to Bruce's writings. And you click on that, and you type in your first name, last name, email address, and then you check which one of the three things that I write every week they want. And they can do all three. They can do two or three, one or three. If they do all three, on Monday I'll send out a quote of the week and an email to them. On Wednesday I'll send out my nationally syndicated newspaper column on history. And on Friday I write a column that you and I talk about a lot, Thinking Out Loud, in which I might take on some of the public policy political issues going on today. And so I will send that out on Friday to them. It's really up to them. And then you hit send, and then you're subscribed, and whichever ones you chose, I will send them to you Monday, Wednesday, or Friday.
Well, there it is, and I'll tell you, like me, you'll be looking forward to Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and your time with one Bruce Kaufman. Bruce, I got to thank you particularly. I mean, I find what you write, it's just so not only important. I mean, it's about every good thing that I think that gifted writers have to offer, and you, in fact, are a gifted writer. And that is that your story about one Anne Frank. You write, after being betrayed by another informant, Frank died of typhus in Bergen-Belsen, a Nazi death camp. But her diary, the diary of a young girl, later the diary of Anne Frank, is today one of the most important works of literature ever written and has rightfully made her immortal, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. It absolutely has. And I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with the story. She and her family were hidden in Amsterdam. They had fled Nazi Germany to go to Amsterdam because they were Jewish, and they were worried that they would end up being sent to some kind of death camp or concentration camp. But the problem was, and this happened throughout Europe, any Jews that fled Nazi Germany for some European country, later Hitler took over the country. And so they've got the same problem again, and that's what happened in Holland. They fled to Holland, then Hitler took over Holland, and so now they've got to hide again. So they hid in this warehouse for 2 years, and finally an informant, who no one who knows was, told the Gestapo they were arrested, and she died in Bergen-Belsen. But before dying, when she was 13 years old, she got a diary, and she started to write in this diary almost every day, and she wrote her observations about love and beauty, about hatred, about cruelty, all the things. As I write in the column, she was alternately funny, poignant, insightful, defiant, and sometimes but rarely despairing. And so the Diary of Anne Frank, translated into 50 different languages, international bestseller. It is, as you said and as I wrote, a moving testimonial to all of the Jews, the 6 million Jews, including Anne, who died in the Holocaust. And it is today one of the most famous books of history and literature ever written.
Have you had a chance to visit Amsterdam, the home of Anne Frank?
I have not been to Amsterdam to do that, no. I was in Warsaw and Czechoslovakia last summer and got to see some of the concentration death camps there, but I've not been there, no.
Well, you know, I'm in Hawaii, as I mentioned to you, and for those that you didn't get the news, let me share with you once again. Our daughter did deliver our ninth grandson. It was her first on Wednesday, August the 10th. 7 pounds, 3 plus ounces, 20, about 20 and a quarter inches long. All that good stuff that women love to hear about. They, you know, you say, well, it's a baby. It was born. It's a boy, you know. Do you have any more detail? You know, what color of his eyes? Yeah, you know, they want to go through the whole deal. But, you know, that's kind of the general detail. He's doing great. Mom's doing great. Dad's doing great. Jackson William, Will I Am, is doing wonderful. Just such a delight and blessing. And it's just so neat, you know, when you watch your children grow up and they're having children. And, you know, it was just a real moment, as you can imagine. So the Martinez and Phelps household are celebrating. And, of course, you know, with a name like Phelps and this being the golden season of one Michael Phelps, you know, it's especially poignant. So, and, you know, this little kid, I mean, he's going to grow up and he was born in Oahu, Hawaii. He's a Maui boy officially, you know, because that's where they live. They live in Maui. So, but he had to be born in Oahu because there was some concern of a potential crisis. But all went well, thank God. And but anyway, my daughter, her name is Marissa. Had a chance. She went with some part of a presidential commemorative sports team thing that they do, and she went to Amsterdam and played volleyball there. And she was telling me when she went to visit Anne Frank's home, she says, "Dad, there is such a presence there, even to this day." She says, "Just remarkable. You go there and you just know." There's just something significant happened within these walls.
Yeah. And one little interesting postscript. Otto Frank, her father, was the only one who survived the Holocaust. And he came back to Amsterdam after the war. And a woman who had helped supply them secretly with the food and whatever that they needed to survive for 2 years, she had snuck back into the annex after they were arrested, and she found Anne Frank's diary. And she saved it the entire war. And when Otto Frank came back, she gave it to him, and he turned the writings into the diary of Anne Frank. But the interesting thing was that, as she said, out of respect for Anne Frank, I never read the diary. And it's a good thing she didn't, because had she read it, she would have had to destroy it, because in the diary, Anne Frank mentions that she is one of the women that had helped her. So if that thing had ever been found by the Gestapo, she would have died as well. So it's that's sort of a wonderful way of you know, ending the story, that because of that, because of her courage in sneaking back in there, finding it, and giving it to Otto Frank's diary, father, to turn into that diary, but the fact that she never read it, because she had read it, she would have had to destroy it. One of those little ironies of history that make history so fascinating.
You know, and Bruce, you know, my daughter speaks of the presence there in Anne Frank's house, and I saw something similar, and that was when, you know, post-World War, the German government said, look, we want all the people to understand what happened in their country in these concentration camps. And they basically told the population, look, you need to go through and visit these camps. And you can see people going into the camps, and they're kind of jovial. It's like a Sunday walk in the park. But as they come out, you can see the devastation on their face, that they cannot believe what happened in their own country. And I can't help but think that with the genocide that's happening in parts of the world today, is the world public not going to feel the same shame and heartbrokenness over the kind of murder and genocide that has taken place in our time in history?
Right. Well, that's why history is so important, Bill. It teaches us lessons that we should never forget. You have to, in order to go to the future, you have to understand the past. And that's what history,
exactly.
That's what history does.
Well, and again, one of the reasons why we love to have Bruce Kaufman on with us on a regular basis. Bruce Kaufman, award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker. Thank you, Bruce. Always good to have you with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live 29 minutes after the top of the hour. Let us know your thoughts. You can drop me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. We'd love to hear from you.
How long were you a slave?
Years.
What is your name?
Benna.
This Friday, my family was betrayed by my own brother.
On the road to revenge,
I won't let him go unpunished.
One man was shown the path.
There is a way.
Defeat your brother in the arena and free us all.
To redemption.
People would follow you. I would follow you.
You should have killed me.
I will.
No! No! No, brother!
Ben-Hur. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters, Real D 3D and IMAX 3D Friday.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Donate to The Y at ymca.net/give. The Y, for a better us.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-954-9674. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-954-9674. That's 1-800-954-9674. 1-800-954-9674.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live. Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, ladies and gentlemen, coming at you from 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, and if you're in Hawaii, it's 3 to 6 in the morning. Yes, it is that early, and I will say aloha to you. It's just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Timothy Shea is with us right now. He's an entrepreneur and recovered attorney, they tell me. Been active in Republican politics for over 30 years. He's a former elected official himself in Massachusetts, and he joins us from America's capital of the cloudy skies, Syracuse, New York. Is it really cloudy today, or is it a typical Syracuse day, or is it something special out there, Timothy?
No, nothing special today. Completely overcast. It has been a beautiful summer here so far, but we have some overcast today.
Well, I know, like any other parts of the country, when it's gorgeous, it is breathtaking, no doubt about it, but we appreciate you coming on.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. No, go ahead, finish your thought.
No, I was going to say, leveraging off your point, this is one of the most beautiful areas of the country, and New York is known as the Empire State. We have phenomenal natural resources. We used to have phenomenal personal resources. Our manufacturing base was robust. We had a very diverse economy, divided between manufacturing and services. We had highly skilled workforce, and now, thanks to 40 years of Democrat rule, and especially the 8 years of Hillary Clinton as senator, it's just it's been a debacle. Right now, New York is a shell of its former self.
Well, interestingly enough, Timothy, I grew up in California. I saw California go through a similar deal. It's become a one-party state dominated by Democrats. And across the country where that has been the place, their policies have absolutely destroyed the very thing that they have the nerve to say that they've championed. And, you know, it's almost like I want to say, stop championing us. You know, you're not helping us. You're making things worse. You're chasing, as you say, to your point, same thing in California. They've changed so many businesses away. And Governor Brown there will audaciously talk about how many new businesses that they've started. Well, you had to start so many new businesses because you chased all the old businesses away. And what you replaced them with was less than. And New York is at least trying to do, you know, some offer to potential business by offering tax breaks and that sort of thing for 10 years. And I've been watching that campaign, and I was curious if you're seeing any results from that, Timothy.
Oh, a lot of results. We've got a massive corruption probe. Two people are in jail already in Buffalo. You know, typical Democrat, we're going to do an economic stimulus program. Oh, and by the way, all our folks are going to be gorging at the trough. Hillary went on one of those disingenuous listening tours of upstate in 2000 when she was running to replace the last Democrat, in my mind. There have been no Democrats since Daniel Patrick Moynihan. What we have now are leftist progressives. Pat was a true Democrat in the old school. Mm-hmm. So Hillary goes on this listening tour, and she promised to create a quarter of a million jobs upstate. Not only did she not create a quarter of a million jobs, manufacturing employment plunged 25% during her 8 years as U.S. Senator. She was not able to bring home any big-ticket legislation. She was not able to impact job growth at all. And not only have the jobs fled, but now if you look at New York State, county by county, it's almost all red, with a few islands of blue in Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Utica, Albany, and then downstate. But those numbers are enough to overcome the majority of the state, which is Republican. And the schools in each of those blue areas are abysmal. They're among the worst in the country. So not only do we not have a talented workforce, we're not creating a talented workforce for the next generation because our students are being graduated from high school and they can't even read and do algebra.
Timothy, you know, and I question this because I see this across the country, and right now we're focusing on Hillary Clinton, but this seems to be the form and model of this new Democratic Party, as you say, the progressive left. Are the people in some sort of induced entitlement coma that they cannot see what's happening right before their eyes? Is that the deal?
That's absolutely what's going on. I've got people that are longtime union supporters, old school Democrats, that are raving about Hillary's free college program, which she, of course, stole from Bernie. And I said, you know, what good is, let's do free community college for everybody because free high school worked out so well. You know, let's get kids educated in high school before we worry about free college.
Exactly.
Not everybody should go to college. We need tradesmen. Mm-hmm. We need good plumbers. We need good electricians. We need master carpenters.
Yeah, we need people that can straighten out all these electronics and, computer information devices that we have. I love that one commercial where the grandkids are coming to visit the grandparents. The grandparents meet them at the door with all the electronic stuff in their hands and say, here, fix this.
Exactly. Bill, if college were an absolute requirement to success, what happened with Steve Jobs and Bill Gates?
Exactly. And there's so many other stories like that as well. And it goes back to what you said earlier, Timothy, and that is there has to be that opportunity. I look at it, and I for many years when I trained salespeople, I always talked about having a fair chance to win. And that win speaks to competence, it speaks to opportunity, and it also is compassionate. It's not winning at somebody else's expense. So much of what Hillary Clinton and other Democrats have done, Nancy Pelosi on down the line, Harry Reid, they have won, but it's been at other people's expense. There's not a win-win proposition in their mindset. They have no concept, a true concept of that. They talk about it. They'll give you the fluff and how they continue to buffalo so many people. That's why I just say I think they're in some kind of a induced coma based on the entitlements and the future potential offerings, because look at, and I hate bifurcating this country because I think it separates us so much, but just as an example, because they have bifurcated and pulled out the demographic of Black America, they have promised them since Lyndon Baines Johnson and the war on poverty, we've spent some $22 trillion to help black America and poverty has moved from 15% to 15.1% after $22 trillion. And you wonder if it's another one of those Clinton Foundation type deals where, the crony capitalists, saw all money and they gobbled on that and they were the ones that drew the most benefit. But the people that it was designed to serve, they're sitting there wondering, okay, they get a couple of pennies here and there. They get a free Obama phone and a couple other free, tchotchkes along the way. But they're really not helped out. And this thing has been going on for over 50 years. Are we insane or what?
Absolutely. And what they've done is they've taken a page right out of Marx's book and Edward Bernays, the father of propaganda, who advised Adolf Hitler's regime. Joseph Goebbels was a devotee of Bernays. They've created this us versus them dichotomy, this zero-sum game mentality, because it benefits them, because that is exactly how they succeeded. Hillary Clinton did not earn $10,000 into $100,000 in futures trading in a few days by growing the pie. The Democrats have no concept
exactly.
of growing the pie. There was a famous scientist, Robert Ehrlich, who back in the 1980s was predicting famine and doom and gloom and economic disaster across the board. And Milton Friedman, genius economist, made a wager with him. Mm-hmm. And he said, you pick a basket of five commodities. I don't care which ones they are. You pick it. I guarantee you that in 10 years, that basket will be more valuable than it is today. Because Milton Friedman trusted in innovation. Milton Friedman trusted
exactly.
in growing the pie. And the left just doesn't get that concept. And that's why they've created this us versus them mentality. And the only ones that benefit are George and Amal Clooney and Bill and Hillary Clinton and all of those people.
Yeah, it's that really that top 1% that they only suggest a target. But we're not hearing them out specifically, because when you got George Clooney, turning over something like $15 million in political bundling money, he's a significant player, no doubt. Timothy Shea has been our guest. Timothy, thank you so much. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 18 before the top of the hour. You've been hearing about Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients keeping the body healthy. Bill Martinez Live now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 ORAC points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 855-305-8326 or BillMartinezLive.com. Longevity, that's 855-305-8326.
What does today's modern living space look like? Renowned interior design team Marks & Friends have partnered with LG Electronics to showcase the home design trends of today's modern family.
One thing that's very important to all of our clients that we think is a huge design trend is to show off your television. You don't hide them anymore. For example, the LG Signature OLED TV, which is picture on glass, it's completely gorgeous, it's razor thin, and it's a work of art.
No matter your age or life stage, it seems technology is at the forefront of any design, and the TV remains king in the American home. LG's Dave Vanderwall.
Families want both form and function in their living room, and now LG's OLED television delivers on both. Beyond picture quality, which of course it is the best picture ever, that is almost an aesthetic art form in itself. So it blends into any kind of living room. The OLED television has the beautiful design that all families are looking for.
And there you have it, the 21st century living space.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, ICOM Geeks on site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks on site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks on site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks on Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, coming to you from Alohaville. Yes, it's our annual, staycation, we might say, in Kauai, Hawaii. We're here to celebrate the birth of my ninth grandchild. Is my daughter's first son that we're really excited about, Jackson William. Will.i.am, I say. Jackson Will.i.am. So we'll probably be hearing down the road from him, the kids were saying, because he is going to be a Maui kid. I mean, that's where they live. They live in Maui. So they're going to say, yes, now coming on the big wave from Maui, Hawaii, Jackson William Phelps. That's what we're going to be hearing. That's what they that's what they said. So get ready, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it first right here. Just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Dr. Alan Axelrod is with us. And we're going to be talking about domestic terrorism. And I know when you first hear about domestic terrorism, you think, well, ISIS, they're continuing to slowly creep into our environment and become more and more of an issue domestically. But the other domestic terrorism that we're not quite getting a hold of is what is happening within our government. And that's what Dr. Alan Axelrod is going to address with us right now. Dr. Axelrod, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Great. Great to be with you.
Well, good to have you here to point out something that is absolutely integral and significant to this election 2016 that we're facing. It's so easy to get caught up in some of the emotional issues that we really need to, consider what are the most important issues that we need to talk about. I was mentioning earlier in the show, one of my favorite sayings has been, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. And all these distractions can lead us down a wrong path if we're not focused on the right things. Our founding fathers knew that, and this is why the Declaration of Independence, in which they stated their grievances, not only for the king and for the world to understand, but for themselves to understand what it was that they were not happy with. And then, of course, out of it grew our U.S. Constitution, which was the solution and the answer to the grievances that we were faced with, right?
Absolutely.
So in your view, the domestic terrorism that we're not talking about and overlooking is what is being done by the people that are supposed to serve us.
Well, it's being done by us, too. Because we don't pay attention to it, we tolerate it, and we don't see, no matter how often we're told that right now we have a $19.4 trillion national debt, it will go up to about 20.1 trillion in 2017 as currently budgeted. I mean, it won't come as a surprise. That's what the budget calls for. And we have been tolerating living on borrowed funds for a good 40, 50 years now. And what we refuse to, as people, refuse to acknowledge is that this is a far bigger threat, and I mean far bigger threat than the current international terrorism, as terrible as that is. Mm-hmm. That those terrorists, while they may kill thousands in this country from time to time, do not represent an existential threat to the continued existence of this country, which, in fact, the national debt does. It represents an existential threat to this country, the same kind of threat of the same magnitude as, say, World War II did. A war that really did threaten the existence of this country. If we continue in a position where we are at the mercy of foreign debt holders, we gradually, or not even gradually, we give up more and more of our sovereignty, our ability to, as a people, determine our own destiny. And to the degree that exactly. we are content with doing that, we endanger the continued existence of the nation.
But I wonder, you know, to your point, and I agree exactly with your point, that this is a government of, for, and by we the people. We've created this. We've allowed this to happen under our very noses. And I understand all the excuses. I mean, and I don't mean to say excuses and just set them aside. I mean, they've been real choices that we've had to make. We've had a tough, particularly the last 8 years. It's been a mad scramble. People are scrambling to put food on their table. And they say, Bill, you know, I don't have time to keep my eyes on the government. Well, it's like one of those things that it's not an elective. You have to do this. If you do not do this, you lose control of the very government that is supposed to serve you. And to the point where you got 7 out of 10 people agreeing that we're on the wrong track. Well, you know, we've allowed this to happen, to your point. But what I would like for you to do, Dr. Axelrod, is, you know, we talk about this $19 trillion, soon to be $20 trillion in debt that you say is approximately 75% of the GDP. Now,
that's a figure that is often used, but actually, according to the Federal Reserve, to their own researchers, it's 105.08% of the gross domestic product. The debt is 105% of the gross domestic product. That is the ratio.
And that is only, again, you know, in typical government math, I don't know, this Common Core math that they use already is just driving me nuts, because it's almost like every number they give us has to come with an asterisk, whether you're talking about unemployment numbers or you're talking about the debt, because I've heard the number of our real indebtedness is upwards of $200 trillion, but we only talk about $19 trillion, right?
This is the work of a Boston University economist named Lawrence Kotlikoff, who has testified before Congress, a very distinguished economist, who suggests that if we accounted for the national debt by looking at not only its present value, but its future value, which, after all, the national debt is something we are giving our children and our grandchildren. They are being saddled with it, not us. They are. If we accounted for it using what he calls generational accounting, the more realistic number is about $210 trillion.
Okay, so how do we translate that to Main Street America so they understand how real this problem is? I mean, they've been hearing about this for, I'd say, about the last at least 5, if not the last 10 years,
right,
that this continuing ignorance and of the indebtedness of this nation, how it's compromising us. But how do we bring it home to them? Because what they're seeing at their coffee tables is what's hitting them in the household, how they've had to cut back every year by 10%. And working three jobs where one used to satisfy the household obligations. Now it's three jobs. It's not a full-time job. It's right. Part-time jobs without health care, which the president said, hey, no worry, we're going to have the best health care. We're going to, and so we're dealing with the reality of that. But how do we, beyond what we're dealing with at the coffee tables across America, how do we bring this discussion to the coffee tables of America and say, look, this is real. And yes, you can talk about you in your lifetime not particularly dealing with it, but this is what we're handing off to our children and our grandchildren.
Correct. Well, I think one way is to, talking about trillions of dollars, a trillion is a very difficult number to conceive of. Maybe more, it's more easily conceived if we understand that national debt belongs to us. It doesn't belong to the government. It belongs to each of us, and each of us, each citizen, whether you're 80 years old or newborn. You come into the world as a newborn, saddled right now with $60,000 in debt. If you break that down per actual taxpayer, it's $162,312 in debt. Now, nobody comes to your door asking for that sum of money, but it is one of the reasons that products cost what they cost today, that services cost what they cost today, that we are all, unless we're very lucky, scrambling just to make a living, just to make ends meet. It's not because industries have failed. It's not because entrepreneurs have failed. It's because we are living in a nation that has monopolize so much of the available credit that credit is unrealistically expensive with respect to the interest rates and savings and so on. So what we get is a kind of a market gridlock. It makes it very difficult to get ahead, to make ends meet, let alone get ahead. So if you think of it that way, this national debt puts a kind of ball and chain on each of us to the tune of $60,000 per person or $162,000 per taxpayer.
Exactly. And that's active taxpayer, $162,000. And we're losing more and more active taxpayers because of the current economy. We have this underground economy that's going in where people are just looking to survive, so they're not paying taxes.
Right.
They may when they purchase items, I understand that, but in the bigger picture, they're contributing to that $162,312 personal indebtedness continuing to increase here. Dr. Alan Axelrod has been with us, New York Times bestselling author, historian, written a new book, Full Faith and Credit, The National Debt, Taxes, Spending, and the Bankrupting of America.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro-1 G2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Do you ever...